There's the preacher.
Oh. Tommy, you must have forgotten. Sound here.
Do you have? Looks like you're going to be doing this unless you want somebody else to. Hold on.
Anybody want to do? You want to do the prayer?
You're our player.
Oh, so.
I would like to call this meeting to order tonight, and our Mayor Pro Tem, Craig Linsky, is going to do the invocation and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
God, we come to you asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion and nurture the bonds of community, and grant us your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Curry Beach. Continue to remind us that all that we accomplish here should be for the good of the entire Curry Beach community. Amen. Please join in. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I would like to have a motion to excuse Commissioner Hegler.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the consent agenda, any comments, changes? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept the agenda as printed.
The consent agenda.
Consent agenda, yeah.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, our regular agenda. I have two items. Under old business, item two, I would like to add the second annual law enforcement appreciation event. And under new business, for number two, I would like to add a resolution opposing the repeal of the ban on plastic bags. Any other additions or changes? Your motion?
I move we change the agenda as suggested by the mayor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we will have a discussion of our development line. John, would you like to briefly let our audience know what this is about?
Sure. Early 80s, mid-80s, towns across the East Coast were building large condo complexes along the oceanfront, Curry Beach included. Over the years, there have been hardships with properties that have been destroyed over 50% by a natural disaster, in that they are not able to rebuild in the same area. In fact, they're not able to rebuild at all because they don't have the land sufficient to do so. According to the new rules that have been in effect since mid-90s into mid-2000s. Recently, new rules were enacted to allow towns with large-scale beach renourishment projects to apply for what's called a development line. Basically, the town could go in and delineate a line of their choosing, and it would go to CAMA for review. CAMA would approve it. Then you'd have to go to the CAMA commission for approval of that line. You couldn't just pick a line. You have to have good reason for whatever you're choosing and wherever it lies. Town Council directed me to apply for a development line in September of this past year. We've done so. We've had a survey, we've had it mapped out, we've sent it in for review. It was approved. Town Council approved it. I was on the agenda for April 26th. And that said, for the CAMA Commission's approval, as of Thursday of last week, we're no longer on that agenda, and it's been moved to the July meeting in Atlantic Beach. In a nutshell, what this development line does, we have applied this line to our beach nourishment easement line, which is already there on our beach. Along our entire coast, we have easements for purposes of beach nourishment. So instead of just picking a line, we chose to go with a line that's already there. It's already delineated. You already cannot build seaward of that line. And it really is not changing much for us, but it is granting leniency to some properties that are challenged as far as their footprint on the ocean front. And that's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions? I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Okay. Bill, I received some questions from Miley and Joanne Durham over there in the Ocean Dunes.
Okay.
And they were concerned about how this would affect the ocean dunes. And that's not them. So, John.
I spoke to her this morning.
Oh, okay, good.
She asked me if she needed to be at this meeting, and I told her that's completely up to her.
I guess as long as she understood what you had to say.
I think so. We had a pretty lengthy conversation.
Okay. Okay.
And just a point of information to you. I extended the same invitation to be here to the Board of the Ocean Director.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Okay. I'll finish my report on that to you since nobody else has anything to say.
No other comments on the development line? John?
So in their final review, staff for CAMA found a couple of issues that popped up, more or less. And so I'm going to be coming back to you with a revised map for your approval. And I'm going to go over it again. Basically, after the last meeting, Town Council allowed me to draw on that small portion of the line down around the readings. When the surveyor drew that in and it was accepted by CAMA, it was just realized the past couple of days or last week that a portion of the line was removed in the editing somehow or another. Don't know why, don't know how, but it was obviously a surveyor error. Surveyor was out of town last week, was not able to correct that quickly enough. Then there was some concern that Town Council had not seen the line in its entirety, even though I provided them with minutes and council actions from last meeting. So I'll be bringing it back to you for your review and approval again.
So the only area of change, John, is down around the turnaround there down the ring.
It's just as I showed you on the map that we were going to draw.
So it hasn't been that somebody else put a different line in, it's just that part of it's not there.
Right.
Okay.
And the line.
Part of it was not there that was there previously.
And the line, whatever is gone or whatever is added, is really not going to change any of the conditions that are evident down there.
No, sir. And it wasn't even in that area at all. It was almost like he went into the PDF to change this file. And okay. While adding a piece got deleted.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
That's the best way to describe it.
Well, thank you for all your work.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let's see, we have some people who would like to speak today. Debbie Leonard. On the irrigation meter and parking on I Avenue.
Yes, ma'am.
And please state your full name and your address.
Okay. My name is Debbie Leonard, and I live at 226 4th Avenue South. Also, I have another property down on 3rd Avenue. Love being at Curie Beach, that's for sure. I know a lot of it too. What I'd like to get some information about, if you'd help me, I like to keep my property looking nice, and I know most everybody lives down here too. And in the summers, to keep things looking good, my water bill at times is $600 a month.
Wow.
And that's not watering every day by any means. So I started some discussions, and I have a friend who lives in Carolina Beach. I also have a friend who lives here and does some business in Carolina Beach. But my friend told me, he said, hey, just don't worry about it, just go get an irrigation meter. And what happens with the irrigation meter is you end up, you still use the same amount of water, and you pay for the water, but you don't pay for the sewer water. Now, you guys know more about that than I do. But that's what they told me, and they said, don't worry, it's $705, and just go down. And so I politely took my checkbook, I go down, I knock on the door to a nice lady whose name is Robin, I believe. She's great. And she said, you got to sit down. Because when she told me the price, our price in Curie Beach for the same situation is $4,500. Mm-hmm. Which you can understand my surprise, number one, and I did see, I felt it on actually. But I'm wondering, and maybe some of you can answer, or I would like to propose to the council to reconsider perhaps. And after talking to some more people, I know there are other people in Curie Beach who have this same concern. Why can't we go ahead and keep things the way we like to keep them, but not at an exorbitant price?
May I ask you, how long has your bill been $600 to $700?
Well, the other property, I've been down here since 2005. My other property is a condo that I converted into a townhome. So its yard is not that much. And so my bill at times would be, closer to 100. But in the last couple of years, I moved into my new property May 1st, 2015. And so during the months when I run my irrigation system, which obviously is not as much as it used to be, the bills have been that high.
And you run it all?
5 months at a time.
It's only about a month that you run it?
No.
Did you say?
Each month. For
oh,
four
each
or five
month.
Months,
okay. All right.
We're looking at between $400 and $650.
Well, unfortunately, the man who has responsibility for public works isn't here. But I think, first of all, I think we'd all say probably ought to have somebody from public works check to see whether you've got a leak somewhere.
No, that's already been checked. And yeah, there are other people in the communities who have bills
I'm sorry.
I said that's already been checked. I don't have a leak. And there are other people in the community who have bills this time. I think they've come and asked some people about it, but I thought I'm going to go ahead and take it to you guys so that maybe we can get the cost of the meter changed, because I think Curie Beach is a much better town than Carolina Beach, although I like it too. But our water is not that much better.
John, do you have, especially on new properties, anything to do with the new meter that goes in? Do you remember why the price is so high, or when we set it that high?
The only thing I have to do with that is to give the property owners that sticker shock price. There are quite a few property owners that have come to me with the same amounts on their water bills. But no, this came to town council about 5 years ago, and I don't remember exactly why. Nothing was ever changed. But
is that when we started charging $4,000, or was it charged before then?
No, ma'am, it was charged before then.
Do you recall how many years, or before your time? Or
as people started asking for them?
I think probably at least 10 years.
At least 10 years we've been charging.
I'm sure there's a rationale behind it. Perhaps, Madam Mayor, we should maybe table this and get back to Ms. Leonard when we can, after we have discussion with Sonny and David. I think that's probably the best thing to do. The bill sounds incredibly hot. I have a pool in my bill's not that hot.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
We put meters because we build houses down at Carolina Beach, and the difference in the meter is an exuberant amount for the same kind of service. When you get the water that goes in, and see, she's getting billed for
water,
all the water going in and all the water going out. And if you cut it and put the irrigation meter in, like my bill is only $56 for my house water, but then it depends on how much I want to use my irrigation. So it's this stays $56 just about all the time, and this is lowered since I'm not combining it all together. So, but the thing is when you want to go get an irrigation meter, it's $4,000 to get it. So you're like, now what do? You pay $4,000, it'll pay for itself in time. But to have two water meters identically the same, one in Carolina Beach and one in Curie Beach, and the price difference is so high. When we did ours, I had the hole dug up. The hole was already dug up, and the water meter for the house was in. And I had it already dug up, and I called the water department and asked, can I get some sort of a discount? I got it all dug up for you. And they said no, so I covered it all back up, made them dig it up themselves.
And are you Janet Carroll?
Yeah, I'm at 302. I'm across the street from her.
Okay.
The thing I would like to know, once, you know, you guys, Mr. Hagler, I mean, discuss with him, and then I'd like to know how many citizens it would take for you to change your mind about the price of meat.
Well, we will certainly let Commissioner Hagler is building another Corning industry in Wisconsin. So he is doing his civic duty and providing more jobs, but meanwhile he will be back one day. And meanwhile I will ask Sonny to get in touch with him and the two of them discuss it over the phone and come to us. And
I'll try to go quickly, so I know other people want to discuss too, but I wanted to talk to you about the parking on I Avenue, because that's our street. I wonder why. I know we can always use more money in Curie Beach. You know, our town, I mean, it's exploding. People want to come here, for sure, to live. So we're going to need more money. Why isn't there parking meters there? Because we can make a lot of money. And secondly, is there a way to control that area more? I've already picked up a couple diapers this year out of my yard, which is not fun. But that's just for your consideration. I mean, you don't have to discuss it, but at some point in time, I'll come again and bring it up, probably.
Well, let me tell you, since I've been on council, we have had three different presentations from parking companies, and we don't have a large number of parking spaces in Curie Beach like they do in Wrightsville Beach and in Carolina Beach, and in fact included in their parking on their line item is Freeman Park. So you have to take $1 million out of that line item and see what they actually make. All three of these companies informed us that we would have to have at least $250,000 up front to pay for the equipment, and which would have to be replaced every 4 to 5 years, and we would make maybe $40,000 a year off of it. So within the time it takes to buy them again, we will have lost money. There is no way we could make money. Well, we started looking into some new and different avenues like they have at Beaufort, North Carolina. And so we had a committee that looked at it this fall, and we put together, I hope you filled out your survey that we asked all the residents to complete this past year. Well, in fact, it was the deadline was around the first or second week in March, and parking was a very, very big issue on there.
I did not understand.
Hopefully at our next council meeting, we will be discussing the results of the survey, and if it looks like the majority of the people in town are still very interested in paid parking, and we can call some vendors in that have a different way of doing it, and where we would not lose money on it, then it is something we might address again. Have the two of you ever given Nancy Hewitt your email address? Because she sends emails out almost every week.
They actually sign up on
on town business and things like the survey.
I just started.
Yeah, okay, all kinds of things that are going on. Anybody who has not done that, you can do it online or call town hall and ask about how to do that, and you'll receive a lot of good information, especially when we have storms.
And Ms. Leonard, I would tell you that even though everyone may not be a fan of paid parking, everyone on council is a fan of managed parking. And we do need to find a way to manage the streets, the neighborhoods, the cul-de-sacs.
On certain days, I can't get out of my driveway.
And we're talking about some other things to do, because right now, the port down here has almost 900,000 visitors year-round. Mm-hmm. The aquarium has over 500,000 year-round, and all of them come through our one stoplight, and an awful lot of them stop for the day or the week or whatever. And so, yes, we, and they're building 2,600 new homes on River Road and lots more land for sale. And I know those people are going to want to come to Paradise before they go anywhere else. So, yeah, parking over from now on forever is going to be one of the biggest issues this town's going to have to address.
Well, I appreciate you listening.
Sure, and we appreciate any suggestions. And
hear me scream some Saturday.
If we start looking at this again, I hope you'll get involved.
We can get John charged back.
Yes, I'll second that. Okay, Janet, you have a question.
I'm Janet Carroll, and I live at 302 South 4th Avenue, off I. And I was curious to ask the question about privacy fences. You can put a little fence up, but it doesn't give you any privacy. It just keeps you disconnected from, you know, the next neighbor. Not anything real tall. I know they have them at Carolina Beach, but I heard that they might, you know, consider, and I was just wondering if that was in the talk.
How tall can our fences be?
Right now, it can be up to 4 feet tall. It is being discussed by planning and zoning to bring to you an amendment for allowing 6 feet in the rear yards.
From the back corner of the house to the back of the property line, right?
Okay.
You're talking about just, well, we'll see it when John, the chairman, brings it forward.
I was actually going to talk about it. It's my turn.
All right.
Okay.
Bring it forward.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, Ms. Carroll, you're very timely.
Yes.
Thank you.
Plus, I would suggest, you know, if they're not ready to present it tonight, you might even come to one of the planning board meetings when they're discussing it. So, we have a couple of people who are signed up to talk about exotic animals and farm animals, and this is going to be on our agenda further down. Would you guys prefer to wait and hear their comments at that time or now?
I think
it might be good maybe for John to present the issue first, and then anybody who would like to make comments will be welcome to do so. Well, I don't even know that we have comments from any of the other committees. Want to go ahead from here? Board of Adjustments. Community Center. Marketing Committee. Parks and Recreation. Okay, you're up, John. Planning and zoning.
Good evening, Mayor. Distinguished commissioners. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm sorry you did not take any of us with you.
For those that don't know, I am John Ellen. I live over on Sea Watch Way. We in the planning and zoning have spent the last few months discussing a proposed ordinance changes dealing with exotic animals and livestock. This came up, I guess, somewhat the impetus for it was the chicken ordinance that the young lady came and talked about having chickens as pets in Curie Beach. So we started looking into that, made some recommendations for that particular issue, and then scouted around the internet, of course, and other local communities regarding exotic animals and livestock being kept in property in Curie Beach. So what we have done on planning and zoning has come to an agreement of what we would like to see as changes to the ordinance. And what is presented to you, and I think everyone has a copy, is the current definitions and the general provisions, and then the current section on animals, and then we'd like to add three new definitions. Exotic animal, livestock, and livestock enclosure, and then insert a new Article 3 dealing with livestock and exotic animals. That's six or eight total pages. I don't plan to read that to everybody unless some of the council members have a question about it.
So when you've got on the second page where no exotic animals are allowed in Curie Beach, that's the existing ordinance, right?
The existing what?
Is that an existing ordinance?
Section
that we're not 4.22?
No, that is not in
the existing new
ordinance.
Okay, then I would ask...
All of this 4.20 is a new addition to the current...
Well, I would ask then, got a line here that you're proposing that there won't be any exotic animals inside town limits, and then further on down, you define how exotic animals are treated. And the question would be, is that if you're asking that no exotic animals be allowed in, then that should be the end of the language on exotic animals.
Yeah, under 4.24D, you talk about owners of exotic animals or livestock within the town on the effective date of these provisions shall not be deemed in violation of the effective date,
right.
And talking about permitting exotic
if you have
animals.
Permitted, you've got to get a, you're not breaking the law on the day this is signed.
I don't understand.
Right.
It says you can't have them, and then it says
well,
they can be permitted.
There are people that may have
some monkeys.
If you sign this in the law, and they automatically, on that day, become violators of the ordinance. So what we're saying is you got 30 days to apply for
rather than grandfathering them in,
right.
They would have 30 days to apply. Okay. I have a couple of questions.
And this is our, certainly you can request changes and we can bring it back again. But this is our recommendation, and I'm sure we may have to question tonight, but it's up to the council to address that. But since it's a change to the ordinances, you're going to have a public hearing on this anyway.
Well, I had some questions about your definition of exotic animals without limitation at apes, bears, monkeys, raccoons, wildcats, wolves, venomous reptiles, and venomous amphibians. And there are a couple of reptiles, I guess, are not venomous, but I question, and that are pythons and boa constrictors and anacondas. Even venomous amphibians. I don't know, is a lizard an amphibian or a reptile? An amphibian, how about turtles like the ones up there in the pond on Cutter Court?
You can keep a pet turtle in the aquarium.
Okay, because some of the turtles up there are snapping turtles and didn't know if they could have snapping turtles in addition to, because I used to catch them all the time when I was little and keep them in a box in the house.
Snapping dogs.
And you mentioned pigs under livestock, but I don't see anything about pot-bellied pigs, which are really considered pets and not livestock. So I started looking, and on the internet I found out a definition, although not limited to, was pocket pets, birds, and I do think birds need to be added, reptiles, fish, and amphibians, primates, kangaroos, pot-bellied pigs, rabbits, ferrets, hamsters, guinea pigs, insects, spiders, like lots of people like to keep tarantulas, crabs, they sell hermit crabs right over there in Carolina Beach, etc. It's usually common to categorize them as exotic pets since they're not as common as dogs and cats, and not all small animal veterinarians are willing or able to care for them, and therefore they're classified as exotic animals. So would really, really like for the Planning Commission to consider all the rest of them.
We did. We looked up those definitions. Yeah. We had a list.
Well, by not defining them, they're allowing them.
We had a list.
Yes.
I researched that even before I left. And you can look at lots of different places and get lots of different lists that are short lists, big lists, and exotic. I personally don't think a hermit crab is an exotic animal. I don't know where you deal with birds. Is it canary?
Especially
an
if they're bought.
Is a macaw an exotic?
Yes. Especially if it's bought in South America or Central America.
Yes,
a
macaw an exotic animal.
And what about boa constrictors? They're not venomous, but they'd squeeze you to death. And they're having problems with those and pythons down in Florida. I know you could, and you've tried a couple of times, but
moving right along.
I just feel like there's a lot that has been left out here, and
by leaving it out.
And also, I don't remember who is responsible. How it's indicated in here, who's responsible for overseeing all of this, and I mean, like if...
John will go in everyone's house and check it.
Thank you. I was just wondering. I didn't know if it was John or Nancy or Sonny. Okay.
Too.
So we need in here somewhere who's responsible for enforcing all of this.
If an animal is not indigenous to the area, is that, are we declaring it's exotic, I guess? No?
That means we can have...
Our permission is not.
Okay.
Yeah, because then we could have those
coyotes
little,
are now indigenous.
Yeah, little lizards, coyotes, and alligators.
I mean, there are fox that are indigenous. They're over in our area.
Yeah.
But can you call that an exotic animal? They're not being kept by them. Not yet.
Hope not.
Well.
And neither are dogs and cats.
Well, you have indigenous animals that are like raccoons and possums. You wouldn't keep them as pets either. But,
no, but
if we need a more definitive list, if we need a definitive list, we certainly can make a definitive list, I guess, and keep it with John or whoever else is going to enforce this thing, so that people know if it's an exotic creature or not. Right now, based...
I have a lot of information about exotics and that's why.
Well, let me see if any of the council members are finished.
Because right now, I guess, there's confusion on the intent, at least, based on what you've described. And you say if it's not included, it's accepted.
Yes.
Okay, we do have...
That'd be a pretty long list, too.
We do have two people who have signed up to speak. Anything else you would like to say that we hear them speak?
The only thing really that I would add is this came up because of the chickens and the fact that the attorneys had said, you know, this is a door that's wide open. You may want to consider shutting it or closing it a little bit or whatever. And this is the first draft of... stuff that's come to us to do it. I mean, we really haven't had an open discussion of whether we care to have legislation on exotic animals or not, or
that's true.
Cows or horses or...
Well, the truth is, with over a million vehicles in season, you certainly don't want an animal in the street. So I think we should have some direction here. And I think this is a great start, but I would like to hear from
citizens. Michelle and Chris Collins.
My name is Michelle Collins, and I live at 822 Cutter Court on Cure Beach in Cure Beach Village. I'm here because I do own two capuchin monkeys, ages 4.5 and 1.5 years old. That has not been considered into the ordinance that's been presented today. My husband, myself, and my two sons, along with our two monkeys, relocated here about 1.5 years ago. And we started our own business on the island. And most people have the wrong idea or the lack of knowledge, as of most people don't own monkeys or exotics. However, some do. Monkeys aren't for everyone. My monkeys are born in the United States, and they are a USDA license, birth certificate from the USA. I have owned them both since they were 3 weeks old, and they come from Florida, from a 20-year captive breeder. As of relocating here, I did my homework and research, checking into the laws and ordinance, calling Cure Beach and Carolina Beach Sheriff Departments and the warden to be informed that there was no laws for my monkeys to relocate. However, I was advised to call the Wildlife Management, and again, I was told there was no laws in North Carolina, being on Cure Beach. So my family moved to the island, and I closed my retail store, and my husband partially retired and selling his construction business, as we have been coming here to the island for 20 years on vacation with our children. 5 years, our monkey has been coming here with us as well. And we plan to fully retire here. Since being here, we have had no complaints or issues with our monkeys, and we have never had anywhere else had any complaints. We do live next to the mayor of Cure Beach in Cure Village, and she has not even seen my monkeys, but knew we owned them, so she was kind enough to bring this to our attention. so we could address this and get the proper permits and licensing for to be grandfathered in with the livestock that's offered today. My monkeys never run loose, or they are not outside caged. Abby weighs 5 pounds, and Mary weighs less than 2 pounds. The monkeys have their own room, larger than most of our master bedrooms, with large sleeping cages, well-maintained to include a 10 by 10 by 8 cage, and 2 sleeping cages in their room. Our cages are always locked with padlocks, always while they are in their cages. We do not allow any outside touch, only to protect our monkeys. I am licensed and permitted in Florida as we travel there as well. Abby, our older monkey, is licensed as an emotional service animal and is training for all her service license. Mary, our younger one, is also in the training progress. We moved from Ohio, and Ohio laws exempt the capuchin monkeys, with other breeds considering New World monkey types and Old World monkey types. I have put my own rules together for the safety of my babies as I live here, as I am a responsible pet owner. I also live in the same cul-de-sac as Mr. Jim that sits on the board. I'm unaware of his knowledge of them, but today I learned he has seen one of them on my husband's shoulder. To my knowledge and to date, I have no complaints or issues from my community or my neighbors. My husband and I have a 2-year lease with Palmier Realty, and their knowledge of our monkeys has been always up front with them, and they are on our lease. I have no issues with my babies since I've owned them, and I am a responsible pet owner, and they are a part of our family. They are bathed daily, they eat with us, and they do wear diapers. I come to this board today and ask for the ordinance be tabled so that the knowledge and education can be obtained to change some of this ordinance as follows. Exempt the capuchin monkey along with other small ones from the section 4.22 of this ordinance. Or include the capuchin monkey along with other small ones in the livestock ordinance allowing the indoor caging. Or allow me and my husband to obtain additional information and provide to you guys, to the board, for the further consideration and definition exotics by tabling this ordinance for the next 60 days. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, Chris.
Thanks a lot for allowing us to speak tonight. We appreciate it. I want to read something from the Pet Primates of North Carolina. Good job. Non-human primate pet ownership is rare in North Carolina, as it is in America as a whole. Few individuals have a desire or a resource to care for a pet with such complex needs. Those few who choose to commit to primate pet ownership are responsible, dedicated citizens who accept the many challenges that come with caring for such an intelligent species. Our government must protect the rights of these North Carolinians who share their lives and make their livings with non-human primates. The primates that are typically kept as pets in North Carolina are not the wild, dangerous animals that come to mind when you hear the words non-human primate. You will not find chimpanzees or gorillas in the living rooms of North Carolina families. Many people associate pet monkey ownership with the terrible incident in Connecticut, which a woman suffered serious injuries to her face from a chimpanzee. A chimpanzee is a great ape, and it is much larger and more dangerous than the small species of monkeys that the private owners keep in their homes as pets. Today in North Carolina, chimpanzees and other great apes are housed in zoos, sanctuaries, or research facilities, not in homes and neighborhoods. The primates that are commonly kept as pets are not great apes, they are monkeys. Monkeys are small animals that are comparable in size to traditional pets such as cats and dogs. Statistics prove that it is safer to keep a monkey as a pet than it is to keep a dog. In the United States alone, nearly 5 million people are bitten by dogs annually, with approximately 900,000 of them requiring medical attention. Compare that figure to the fewer than 10 non-human primate bites reported annually in the entire United States. Or not reported incident in North Carolina, no reported incident, absolutely none, in the state of North Carolina. And it becomes obvious that pet monkeys do not pose a significant threat to public safety. Even the notion that monkeys carry diseases that can harm humans is largely a myth. The Centers of Disease Control, CDC, states that there has never been reported an incident of human contracting a disease from a pet monkey in the United States. The occurrence of zoonotic disease in laboratories, primates, is directly linked to exposure to other primates and to the importation of primates from third world countries. My wife spoke a minute about New World monkeys and Old World monkeys. We happen to obtain ones that have been bred over two decades, and they are considered New World monkeys, which have been exempt from many other state laws and community laws. The Lacey Act of 1975 abolished the practice of importing primates into the U.S. for the pet trade. Monkeys kept as pets in the country are born in domestic breeding colonies that are regulated by the United States Department of Agriculture, Animal Plant Inspection, Service Animal Care Division, USDA, APHIS, and AC. These regulations have been in place for many generations of captive breeding and have produced healthy monkeys for pet population that are disease-free and pose no threat to the American public. Monkeys are classified by their origins. New World monkeys are those species that originate in South and Central America. Old World monkeys are species that originate in Africa, Asia, and additional other countries. There are several species of small New World and Old World monkeys that make suitable pets and are sometimes kept by private owners. Following is a brief description of the New World monkey, Old World monkey that may be found in the homes of North Carolina pet owners. And I'm not going to waste the council's time on the background to share this, and I'll give it to you with what you wish. It has a list of all the monkeys that are acceptable and have been acceptable to other states, other communities, and are being looked at by the state of North Carolina under a new bill that's being introduced now.
If you could give that to Nancy Hewitt, and she can make copies.
And I'll thank you a lot.
Thank you. Do you guys have any questions of our two speakers?
I'd like to see them.
You may have to go get one before the meeting. So. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Okay. Recommendations, comments, additional questions of John?
Well, this is the committee's initial transmission to us of what they feel we should be looking at. If we do anything, regardless of what it is, since it's going to be a new ordinance, like you said, there's going to have to be a public hearing on it. So should the public hearing take place prior to the vote?
If you want to hold one, you can. It's not required, but you can hold it.
Well, I would think that if we were going to be doing anything at all with the legislation, I would think that since it's something that if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be in people's homes. And because of that, I would think that we would probably want a public hearing before we went ahead and did anything.
Good idea.
There could be other exotics on there that the pet owners are just protecting their babies and not bringing them out in the public, because it's not like we bring them out all the time, because, of course, it would be poof. So we have to protect them, so we go out at night or early in the morning so nobody is around. So there could be other people in our community that does own exotic animals. We just don't know about it.
But really, what we're doing is we're trying to set something in ordinance form for who knows how many different animals and species.
I wouldn't have known about this today.
And just happened to have a species that's already here, but there's a lot of other animals that we have to consider what, if anything, we're going to be pro or con on, and also the exemptions, because this ordinance has a permit process where if you have an animal that isn't allowed, that you're able to come to the town somehow and get a possible okay on it.
John, do our county, I think, has an animal control department. I believe they do.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Does that animal control department have a ordinance? Maybe, I guess, do they have anything around? So it's just a matter of, hey, I don't like this person's pet, come get it?
In Brunswick County, you can list everything that is allowed, but you can list everything you can imagine in Brunswick County. So
they do? They do have ordinances.
No, in Brunswick County, they allow everything, right? There's no restrictions at all, period, anywhere.
Do you know any local jurisdictions that have regulations governing exotic animals?
I think we patterned this after some research. I can't tell you which county or exactly. Because it turns out to be a hodgepodge of this piece and that piece.
Yeah, we just try to narrow it down, and the monkeys were part of the consideration for the grandfather, so they would be fine with their animals. Nobody wants to take
And what if I find out I really enjoy them so much that I want to have one? Then I can't?
You can get the permitting process.
Not after 30 days, I can't.
Well, that brings up, what happens if I've got a boa constrictor? It's not on the list if we pass this ordinance. I come and I get an okay. What's that do for the next person who says, I want a boa constrictor like he has?
It's not on the list, you want to come get a...
Yeah, if you're not on the list, you don't even have to have a
permit. Well, then a pig. If you okay my neighbor having a pig.
A pot-bellied pig. A regular pig is livestock and needs to be outside. Pot-bellied pig is just like having a dog.
So I've been told.
We believe there does need to be a ordinance. There does need to be some definition.
But we should be able to get permitted. That's all. We like laws.
We believe there should be laws.
I follow laws from Ohio and Florida that they have in process already, even though there's no laws here, just to protect myself and my baby. So, law. I'm not fighting for there not to be a law. I'm just fighting
for the and all of us up here ask for this because we think there needs to be.
All of us asked for this. I didn't ask for this.
The majority of us up here asked for some input from the committee so that we could.
No, planning and zoning
wouldn't have herds of cattle going down the street.
Give me comments.
And we all, those of us that have been here a while, know the problem Carolina Beach had with the guy who really enjoyed riding his horse through town.
That's
and got a ticket every single time he did it.
That's livestock, but now what about a miniature horse that you keep indoors? Is that livestock or an exotic animal?
Why don't we come up with some direction here for John?
Yes.
So we don't.
In an attempt to not have this played out there to the public hearing, which obviously it will if we go.
Right.
Okay.
Let us
start over on the list.
Well, I'm
John.
I'm,
if we could, I'll offer this. Council can comment, maybe to close the discussion at least. That I would offer that. I think I would like to see a list of exotics as you've defined them, maybe with a little more detail on that, and what would the enforcement, who would be responsible for enforcement? Well, we have that. I think we can probably put that out for other comment, because I do believe there are some animals that shouldn't be here, but it may be too broad at this point in time based on the comments from the mayor. Okay.
And
any other direction?
Yeah, I like the idea that you're giving an opportunity to come in and be permitted, but I mean, we have two ladies here who have lived here for several years and didn't know that we just had a huge survey that went on for several months. So I dare say there are people who have things in their homes that aren't going to know about this and will miss that 30-day cutoff. Also, I don't see why this couple then should be able to have some primates, and other people like me can't. So I'm more in favor of the permitting process. Another reason, because we may not get every single exotic animal on a list. We may miss something that this town truly, like we just talked about boa constrictors and pythons and anacondas and tarantulas, something we might truly, you know, feel like is dangerous even though it's not venomous. And insects aren't on here, and spiders aren't on here. I think somebody needs to be responsible for that people can come to and say, okay, I'm keeping a creature in my home and I would like to have a permit for this creature. And that individual is sanctioned by the planning board to decide, is this something that is dangerous for our community or something that is just as acceptable as a dog or cat would be? And I can tell you, the German Shepherd that nearly destroyed my dog several years ago should not be in this town, and it still is. So if we're going to allow dogs and cats that we could have a problem with, I don't see why we can't allow exotic pets under certain circumstances.
I don't think we can legislate things that aren't going to be dangerous. Drinking too much alcohol is dangerous. Riding a bicycle out there is dangerous, but you allow me to do it.
And a permit does not exonerate a homeowner from controlling his animal. So, if there's a destruction or
his
harm, they're accountable.
You know, I don't want you keeping a bear next door because he might break out of your house and get it. I think I can outrun the monkey kind of pretty quick. The boa constrictor, the python. One quick aside, one of my daughters is an investigator for child protection. She got called to a home up in Northern Virginia because the neighbors knew there was a big, big python. It had its own dedicated room. The dad lived by himself with his 8-year-old daughter. And the dad was not always at home. Now, that young lady opens that door, no question in my mind, a large python can kill an 8-year-old child. Wasn't against the law. It was endangerment to the, I guess endangerment against the law, but there was a, my daughter filed a case against the father endangering his daughter with that type of animal in the home. Had he lived there by himself, like a lot of things, you can be dangerous yourself and have dangerous things going on that are not going to be legislated away from you being crazy, stupid, harming, putting yourself in harm's way. We'll take a look at the list and try to maybe.
Yeah, maybe be
except for.
Or maybe, I don't know, just to have a permit system that's a little more reasonable.
Well,
I was just thinking about.
Get to the permitting situation, and then somebody come, that one person, if it's John or if it's the council, 5-vote, when person X comes up here and says, may I keep a python? Is that John's responsibility? Is it mine?
Well,
Craig's? Is it yours, Mayor?
Maybe it's the council's responsibility.
Right.
I mean, one of the things you don't have on here are fish. What if people had a tank of piranha? And I think they had problems, was it in Florida, where they had problems that people would flush them down the...
I'm not swimming in the...
Down their toilets.
I'm not going to swim.
And then
the
they're tank. Out in the rivers and all.
Well, I have about a 42-page list of
that's like Brunswick County.
And I've seen them in restaurants before in big tanks and all. Is that something we would really want? So, I just
you would really know.
Be a little more open-minded about it. Comment down there?
John did a great job. Commissioner.
Yes,
yeah,
you did.
I think
yes, you did.
It's easy to pick apart the last 5%. It's a 95 that works. Like, so thanks, John and PNC.
Speaking of the height of fences,
I think Dennis had a comment.
Could I just express an opinion?
Yes.
It's okay. Are we legislating what people can keep in their homes with these discussions here? Because I understand legislation. I understand ordinances against livestock, chickens, horses, cows, pigs. It affects your neighborhood, it affects your neighbors, it affects other people. It's outside. People have dangerous weapons in their homes. Right? Children are killed all the time by guns, knives, poisons. There are many dangerous things in the home. But they're in the home, and it's the responsibility of the homeowner, the parents, whatever it is, to keep those children safe and to keep the home safe and keep the neighborhood safe. And there are laws out there if you don't do that. So are we going a little bit beyond what's necessary here in terms of trying to identify every dangerous, or in some cases you're talking about invasive species? Yes, if piranhas get out into our local ponds, if dangerous, not poisonous snakes, but constrictors escape into the neighborhood and populate like they have in the Everglades, those are invasive species which I don't think we can control or legislate either. So I just worry that if we try to identify every exotic species and say you can or cannot have it, that's like saying you can have a gun in your house or you can't have a gun in your house.
I think the difference is the a weapon does not have a mind. Somebody has to use that weapon, but an animal has an innate instinct to act as an animal. And
but,
if it's
but
out in the
dangerous.
Community,
correct.
They are, but I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying one is dangerous on its own, the other is dangerous in the hand of somebody.
In the hand of a child is no different than a poisonous snake.
Right, but a weapon in the drawer is different than a poisonous snake.
Yeah, but a poisonous snake should be caged.
To it.
And if it's
yeah.
not caged and not locked in a cage, mm-hmm. it's no different than a gun.
I understand your point,
you're going to get really deep in the weeds here if you start trying to identify who can have what and when and what's dangerous and what's not dangerous.
I think that was the intent of the way this was written, was to make it a little more liberal.
Maybe since this couple has a license in Florida, obviously there are regulations down there. Maybe they could share those with the board and the board can see what those regulations are like that might apply to all kinds of animals.
I would be honest with you. Florida does have regulations or state laws. And they have a whole department out of the state that's financed greatly to maintain those laws. To get permitted and licensed in Florida is atrocious, but we did it because we traveled there and that's our responsibility. The laws that were just enacted in Ohio were some of the most defined laws without going into a great depth. Exempting through professional testimony certain species in the monkey family. We would be glad to bring them out online and go straight for the entire ordinance, not just a portion of it, or the state law, and glad to provide those to the council. And that bill was fought for years to get it to what we feel as monkey owners. Of course, we're a little biased. Who wouldn't be? We own monkeys. But it's a good law. It's a very fair law for exotic animal owners. and exotic animal owners knowing that there are exotic animals that you should not own. There are some domesticated animals you shouldn't own, but you know you can't control that because of domesticated animals. But we'd be glad to share any information that this board would need.
I think if you could share that with our planning board, that would be nice.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
The template that he gave you has a lot of the monkeys that are exempt from a lot of laws that are out there because they are under 20 pounds. And the pit bull that lives across the street from me would do way more damage to you if it got loose than if my monkey actually got out of its cage and did the same thing. So that's why the smaller monkeys, they do have exempt them from their law. They're more into the bigger gorillas and the chimpanzees and the bigger animals that would hurt you, tigers, lions, bears, all that. Where our littler monkeys, they exempt them or make them go for permitting is how that works.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Collins.
The next planning and zoning board meeting is May 2nd. Y'all can come.
May 2nd.
7 p.m. here in the chambers.
Okay, thank you, John. Oh, you've got another one. Okay.
Someone mentioned the height of fences. We're also looking at that on planning and zoning and plan to come at the May council meeting and present a change to the fence ordinance. Basically, today, no fence may be over 4 feet tall on the property. We're going to recommend, I think, what we're kicking around and discussing is in the backyard of your property, you could raise that to 6 feet, but still have only 4 feet around the front and sides. Just a little teaser for next month.
Okay. Thank you. Shoreline access.
Thank you for your time.
Beach protection. Dennis, do you have anything for us?
Well, we're still working on a signage issue, trying to come up with a prototype that we could present to the council about a single combined sign rather than having multiple individual signs on it. And a proposal also, just to give you an idea, is only at the parking access points and along the boardwalk, not every single access point.
Okay. Okay, here. Any non-town committee reports? Okay. Just to let the general public know, we are looking for an alternate representative on our ADA, but the ADA committee in Wilmington that we have a member on there, and we are looking for an alternate member. Department head business administration.
Mayor Sparrington asked that I give you an update on a meeting I've been attending, FEMA Resilient Redevelopment Plan. This is something that North Carolina Works Management and New Hanover County are participating in for rebuilding 50 impacted counties and municipalities related to Hurricane Matthew. The goal is to develop a strategic plan and action and define any unmet funding requirements needed to implement such actions. This plan will be the foundation for any supplemental funding received through Congress and North Carolina General Assembly and other funding sources. We're looking at four main areas. One is housing, two is economic development, three is infrastructure, four is environment or ecosystem. And in New Hanover County, we have little to no housing damage from Hurricane Matthew or economic development, certainly not like some of our neighboring cities in the middle of the state. Infrastructure, we had some things in environment. Mainly what's being submitted are things related to stormwater or any stormwater issues related from flooding from Hurricane Matthew. So I did put in the replacement of all of our outfalls, even though we did get some funding from FEMA. 75% other emergency management. We still have about $40,000 to $45,000, I think it is, out of pocket. And then under environment, I've also included the Eagle Dow chemical maintenance in the ocean. We were encouraged to think of as many things as we possibly could to be included in this plan that will be submitted May 1st to North Carolina Emergency Management and go from there up to federal level.
Thank you for including Dow in there. Also, you attended a meeting for DOT that had to do with Fort Fisher. Do you remember that one? I think
that's for paying the labor. They let a contract, but we won't be doing it until September or October. It's just that section across from where the Fort Fisher and the Stork sign is that goes around the rocks, that kind of U shape. Well, that's not quite a U, it's a right and a left
with,
and a right.
With the monument in the center of it.
Yes, with the monument in the center to repave that.
They're going to pave the whole thing?
They're going to pay what's paid
because,
now.
Oh, okay, so not the part that's gravel.
No.
Okay, all right. Anything on our architect that you want to share with us? Or?
I gave each of you a memo as to the status with negotiations with the contract.
Okay,
and
okay.
And things that have come out of that once we get that contract signed and what the architect responsibilities will be and what they won't be. And then as council decides to have a discussion as to the project manager. I don't know if you want to discuss that tonight or not.
Nancy and Jim and I have been working with Lee Crouch to finalize the contract with the architect, and I believe it just about is. The one thing that he and one of his cohorts have helped us with is understanding their management of the development of plans and all, as opposed to management of the construction part. And one of the things that really concerned me, and fortunately it also ended up being one of the major concerns for Lee Crouch, was that only 20% of their budget and their time for the architect was allocated for management of construction. And even though construction is about 75% of the project and the time after the plans are all drawn up, and I couldn't figure out how they were going to do all the things that had to be done during construction with just that 20% allocation there. And so we had gone through several things. We got wonderful response from the architects. They have been absolutely fantastic about responding to us. And there are several things that they don't do. A couple of things they don't want to do. Some things that they normally don't do, but they could do at an additional price. And when we met the other day with Lee, he and the other gentleman he was working with on this indicated that they still felt very strongly that the town needed to hire a third party or a project manager to do the things that the architect really was not interested in and ordinarily does not do on their projects. And so one of the things we talked about was the possibility of going on and doing an RFQ for a project manager, selecting some to come in and interview with us and talk to us and find out exactly what their cost would be, and then decide at that point if that's something we can afford or if making the architect do these additional things at an additional cost would be better for us. But I think mainly we decided we'd really like to go on and do an RFQ for project manager and find out exactly what it is they would do for us and what they would charge us.
Sounds interesting. I would not want to be in a position where we take the typical project management role, give half to the architect and half to a project manager. As long if we're going to use a project manager, then I would say you'll have the total responsibility for that position.
Part of what I put in your memo to give you a chance to think about it, it's highlighted what they do and what they don't do in what's called an addendum to the American Institute of Architects, Pub Architects, contract for contract administration. Most of it they do. There are certain things that they do not. One is cash flow reports, one is a detailed log of the contractor, what goes on with the site, and the other is actual contractor schedule. The things that the architect clearly does not do would be the things that I would think that you would look at in terms of your request for qualifications, if that's what counts.
And one of the main things is the amount of visitations that we get from the architect versus the amount of visitations that we'll get with an outside project manager, and the fact that we've got multiple constructions going on. It's not just one building. It's different phases and a bunch of buildings going on simultaneously. One of the things that Lee said that they didn't feel that there was going to be, first of all, the interest in it on the part of the architect to keep all those balls in the air simultaneously, and that part of their recommendation for the project manager was that we would have somebody on site, you know, practically every day by hiring a local person.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, right? I just want to make sure that the guy on site every day has the authority necessary to run the job.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to call the architect and say, oh no, this is his contract.
Plus, so. I really think from working so much now with this architect, it's very obvious that they're going to be very easy and very professional to work with.
And I was one of them, yeah. As you guys are aware, I was one of them that was happy to have the architect be the project manager. And I've since changed my mind. I think we really need somebody to keep more of an eye on it than the architect in their group is willing to do as a standard operating procedure. Some of the items will be overlapping. But if our project manager is the final say on all that stuff, really, to me, it doesn't make any difference whether it's overlapping. The final word's going to come out of the project manager through us, mm-hmm. or us through the project manager.
Mm-hmm. Comments?
I don't have a problem with the RFP.
But do I have a consensus that we go ahead and do an RFQ?
RFQ, sorry.
Could I make a suggestion that I bring you a draft one at the May meeting? Because I don't know if I know exactly everything that you want, and that I'm understanding you're talking about somebody on site daily.
Well, I don't know that it has to be daily, but it certainly needs to be more than once a week.
Yeah, that will need to be defined what your expectations are.
Yeah, and it's again, it's going to depend on. We've got renovation over here and tearing out walls, and we've got brand new construction over there. And at some points it may be daily. For some points it may not, but it's certainly more than once a week.
Yes, Nancy, I'd like to see it when you're ready. I'm happy to help with that.
And in fact, it might be good to ask them to suggest, you know, not just tell them, we want you here every single day throughout the construction, but for them to tell us how much time they feel needs and when needs to be spent on the project according to other projects they work on. I think they probably know that better than we do. So, okay. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for volunteering to work on it. And I'm sure Lee Crouch would also be glad to mm-hmm. help with this.
Well, he can deal with the terms. That's fine.
Yes.
We'll talk about the
all
job.
All big words. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Finance.
Nothing tonight.
Bless your heart. Building inspections, I guess, is already, John's already done his part. Fire department, police department, public works. Okay. Old business. We had talked about town participation in Special Olympics torch run and a possible donation. I apologize. I was supposed to call the sheriff's department, wasn't I? And if we could have firemen running instead of policemen running. Thank you. Because this thing is next month. Do you have any comments one way or the other? You know, if we have one or more
dressing the police t-shirts.
Yes, if we have one or more of our employees running in this, or their spouses for that matter.
How many people do we need to run?
At least one.
What? Yes, but I mean, how far do you have to run?
Oh, how far? That was such a question. Oh, only from the sheriff's department to Wrightsville Beach.
The sheriff's department to Wrightsville Beach.
The sheriff of Pender County.
No.
That's far enough.
It's only 11 miles.
And some of it's even downhill.
However, I was told, just in case I would like to do it, that they have a van that goes the whole way that I could ride in. Or if anybody along the way has a problem with running, they can ride in the van for a while or for the rest of the way.
Can you have 11 people each do a mile?
Ooh. Let me ask the sheriff's department that and see.
Something a little
Let's
easier.
See about that.
You're not going to find too many.
Or how about 22 people?
or 44.
Right. Okay, let me ask them about that. My biggest question was, you know, if we have one or more employees that are willing to be in the torch run, which is a really, really big thing nationally for Special Olympics, would the town like to provide a donation?
Normally, torch runs are relays. You run for a while and hand the torch to the next guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's ceremonial. Like from one town to another. It's not a quarter of a mile to the next quarter of a mile to the next quarter of a mile. Although maybe one of our guys would get carried.
Why isn't the sheriff's department running?
They are.
Oh, they are. They're looking for other people to run.
Not only does the sheriff's department run every year, they are third in the state in the amount of money they raise.
Oh, I see. So you get people to donate
for
your running.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And since this is their very first time ever doing this and helping their sheriff's department, I just wanted to know if you would like for the town to make a donation. And we welcome our residents to do the same.
I would just have one question about donating, whether the town, whether that really satisfies the public purpose for use of town funds.
I don't know. We support Special Olympics in letting them have their polar plunge here every year without charging them for permits and all.
But we don't actually make cash donation.
Ooh.
I don't know what Andy.
Good question, Andy. So we can't make a donation. Okay, right? Is that what you're saying, Andy?
Yes.
Okay, so that settles that one.
Okay.
Okay?
Good.
Now, there is the second annual law enforcement appreciation event put on by Ports City Heroes, and this will be on Saturday, September the 16th, did I say? Yes, Saturday, September the 16th, and our police department is being recognized this year. The chief will be there, and the police department will select one of its own to be recognized during this event, and I would like very much for our council members to consider attending the...
As the liaison, I'll be going.
Sure.
And as the mayor, I'll be going.
Well, there'll probably be a few of us there. Honoring our guys?
Yes.
Worthy thing.
Yes. And, oh, but you don't have the one about the... Do you know the guy from Benghazi thing that's speaking? One of the military guys?
I just heard that today, that one of the survivors of the Benghazi incident is going to be speaking.
Yes. Yes. So, it has become apparently a very, very good thing for our guys to be recognized this year. Okay. New business. Downtown parking lot.
Okay. Last week we spoke about having a discussion now about the public parking that we have available next to the Quick Mart. In previous years, we had looked at the tax value of that property, and we had worked with the client, or the owner of the property, used to be Lance, and now it's Sam. I should know the last names for the moment, I don't. But there was $7,500 involved in the rental of that property. That was really the approximate tax value of the property, I think, Arlen, right?
Right.
And what the town did was we contributed $2,599 towards the use of that lot for downtown, and the businesses contributed the other $5,000. Last year, in 2014, that's how things went. In 2015, that's how things went. In 2016, the new owner, Sam, actually wound up getting less money. The town did put in the $25.99, but not all of the downtown businesses supported their portion. So the owner actually took less than the previous 2 years. My question to you, so that I can speak to Sam about what we intend to do, or whatever he would like to do, if we want to consider this year using the same approximately $2,600 as our portion to support the lot in the center of town. There is some controversy associated with it. Some people say, why should I pay to have people park free? Fact of the matter is, I'm not sure what he would do if we don't support that. But I will find that out if I have the wishes of the council as to what they would like me to do. Comments?
I'm probably one of them who doesn't think very highly of using tax dollars to so people can from out of town can park for nothing. But I'm willing to see whether you can get the businesses to pony up one more summer.
Well, we can attempt to do that, and I would attempt to do that if we agree to do our portion. If we are not doing our portion, I'm going to tell Sam principally, Sam, you're on your own. If you want to charge for that, I would support that. If he wants to put somebody out there and have people pay by the day or whatever to use that lot, that I think that's allowed within the business, right, John? That's allowed within the business district.
Well,
he could go ahead and do that and probably make a lot more money. But he has his comments to me have been, I would just like to help out the town if that's what it is. At least last year, he didn't prefer to do that on his own.
Well, it certainly benefits the businesses more than it benefits the town of Kira Beach, because we're providing parking for people that go to their establishments.
Right. We provide parking for anybody who wishes to be downtown.
Yeah.
Whether they be locals or non-locals. So it's available for anybody.
Or whether they go to the beach or go to a business. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. I mean, they could still
absolutely
be a day tripper who takes their cooler mm-hmm to the beach and never spends a penny in town.
Right.
I know there have been problems there. Anne from Palm Air has indicated problems with people disrobing, changing their clothes, urinating, leaving trash everywhere.
We got that on Atlantic Avenue.
So, I'm wondering, you know, if he would be willing, or the businesses would be willing to pay for this themselves, or if he would be willing to hire somebody to collect a parking fee for there, if the town in return would continue to provide trash pickup,
upkeep,
and upkeep, and certainly police if somebody's disrupting.
I mean, you know that principally we get the $7,500 for the taxes, we give him $2,600, so it's kind of like an alternative use for the money, but if we're going to maintain it or whatever we're going to do, I can tell them that. My question is, do we want to support our $2,600? If the answer is yes, I will tell them that. I'll tell them we're not going to be accountable for the business portion of this, so he can get that. Or I'll tell them that the town is not going to participate this year other than what we would normally do.
In the past, how did the town, the business money pass through to him? Through the town?
We had the money. We had the town. We had the businesses come in and give Arlen a check.
Okay, and then we...
And then we gave him every... So we received checks in the first month, and we would give him payments over the first 4 months of the year. So we actually...
So
we paid his property tax on that block.
We didn't.
We didn't pay it directly, but we paid what would be the amount of his property tax.
We paid $2,600.
And the businesses reimbursed us for 3/4 of it.
Yes.
But the way it worked last, like Craig was saying, not every business participated. So when it came down to the last lease payment, the way the lease was written, that the ambient put together, was that if we didn't get full participation from the businesses, that Curie Beach's portion would remain $25.99, and you know Sam would have to absorb the difference, basically, and that's what happened. The last payment was short, you know, $1,500.
So, I guess to be clear, the taxes get paid. We essentially have reduced the taxes on the property by $2,600. That's what we've done. That's the essential math.
Okay.
So I am open to the direction of the council. We can either go with a motion that says, let's do it and vote it down, or vote it or approve it.
Well, I haven't heard anything from Joseph over there.
If they don't park in that lot, they're going to park on I Avenue.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that. Park there. They're going to go where it's free first before they go over
to
that lot.
It's free everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
Except if you start charging on that lot.
You can remove
well, we won't be charging them.
Right.
I live on E Avenue, so I understand.
Yeah.
I drive by that all weekend long.
Yeah.
So, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
To bring this to a close,
yes.
I move. Did we have a comment?
There is a potential that if you elect to spend the $2,600, tell Sam that, and the town bails, the businesses bail out on their part, Sam is left with a dilemma that he's got the town 26, but you may want to charge also. So you may want to have another alternative that will offer him the 26, but if the town doesn't come through, we keep the 26.
contractually, that is precisely what we do, John. But I mean, that's that you hit it right on the head. If he doesn't get the money and he wants to take it off, he can cancel the contract. We'll just take our money back. Any other comments?
If you have a town sticker, you get a parking free. Keep the 2500.
Any other comments?
Have a motion, you said?
All right. I make a motion that we pursue the opportunity to renew the lease on the parking lot with the town's contribution of $2,599, with the ability that if the businesses do not support the remainder, the contract can be canceled and the money is in the town's money returned.
Can be canceled or will be canceled?
Sorry?
Can be canceled or will be canceled?
Will be canceled. That's fine. Maybe it will be canceled. That allows him to do what he wants. Or at the same token, he could say, look, I'll just take the 26 and leave it the way it is. I'll take the reduced tax.
How much is it for each business? I mean, it can't be that much, is it?
$1,000.
For each business?
Each
business. How many businesses are there?
Well, some pay $500, but that's just the small ones. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 businesses. And they come up with a total of $5,500.
And one business owner this weekend had asked me if that was going to be available this year.
Yeah.
So
right.
I'm sure they're planning on putting in their
doing that.
So.
Okay. Do we need to repeat the motion?
So there was, did somebody second? Or is
yeah,
it dying?
Three times.
Oh, you did second?
Yeah.
Three times? Okay. All right.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay, I will go speak with Sam.
Wait, Nancy has a wonderful comment.
Just two comments. Number one, we don't need to reference that we're paying any property tax because we can't do that.
No, that's true.
Contribution number two, I think you need to stipulate that if only the town contributes, he cannot charge for that lot. I don't think we can be in a position that the town's contributing money and then he's making.
Both points well taken, Nancy. I was trying to use that as an example to tell you how we came up with the amount for the value of the lot.
I think with the last lease, it kind of prorated the fact that if you didn't get the full payment, then the lease only covered a limited period of time.
Right. We will come up with something amenable with Andy's help, like he has helped for the last 2 years, 3 years.
Okay. Continuing on new business, okay. We have a resolution that we were asked by the county of Dare County, the county of Dare, to support them in their efforts of preventing legislation that would repeal their ban on plastic bags. They have had that ban for 8 years. It has worked very well for them. Steve Shuttleworth brought up something at the Byways meeting in Nags Head a week or two ago that he was really, really opposed to the legislature trying to tell towns and counties what to do and what not to do, and that local municipalities and counties should be allowed to either have a ban or not have a ban, and the legislature shouldn't just blanket nobody in the state is going to be allowed to have one, period. So let me read this resolution to you. Resolution opposing repeal of the ban on plastic bags, whereas the North Carolina General Assembly enacted a ban on the use of plastic bags by the Outer Banks stores in 2010, and whereas this ban was initially instituted for larger retailers from Corolla to Ocracoke in 2009, and whereas the legislation was proposed to both protect the environment and help preserve the thriving tourist industry, and whereas banning plastic bags promoted a new shopping culture on the Outer Banks, where the delicate ecosystem is particularly vulnerable to excessive trash, and whereas plastic bags are known to harm marine life, especially turtles, and whereas House Bill 271 has been filed in the North Carolina House of Representatives that would repeal the ban, and whereas Senate Bill 539 filed in the North Carolina Senate contains provisions to repeal the ban, and whereas banning plastic bags has improved the visual aesthetics on the Outer Banks by reducing litter, adding protection to the fragile marine ecosystems, and keeping tons of plastic bags out of the landfill, now therefore it is resolved that the Curie Beach Town Council supports the Dare County Board of Commissioners and opposes House Bill 271 and the provisions of Senate Bill 539 that would repeal the ban on the use of plastic bags. Is there any discussion from you guys?
No, I think it's quite evident. Kill Devil Hills, Nag's Head, they know it's better for them than the state legislature. And clearly they've accomplished this already. I move we support it.
I second that.
Even if I was for this, I'd vote for it just because just another foot of the big guys up in Raleigh step on the communities.
So we have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Nancy Hewitt, I would appreciate it if you would send a copy of the resolution along with a letter from me to our entire legislative contingent and to other legislators whose names are on both of these bills. And if you would, please call the Dare County manager tomorrow and let him know that we are supporting them, and send a copy to him too. Okay, do we have any? I don't have any updates. Anybody else have any updates?
No.
Commissioners? Okay, do I hear a closed session, guys?
I would move that we move the closed session to next month when we have everyone available, all the commissioners. I know that I think the other commissioner would like to be a part of it.
Good idea. Okay. Good idea. Okay. Adjourn, guys?
Wish to adjourn. Please do. Yeah. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank all of you for coming tonight. We appreciate that.
Mayor Swain, we're going to add in our